again, friends.
Hello.
We just watched season 15, episode 11. 11?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's 11.
The Gamblers.
The Gamblers.
And it was great.
Yeah, it was really good. I really liked this episode. And I think it's because I really liked it that I don't know if I have... Like, I do have a lot to say, but I think I just need to, like...
You need to warm up a
little bit. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know me too.
I know. I'm Sally.
And I'm Kira.
And we are It's Funnier in Enochian, the podcast.
Because it is often funnier in Enochian.
Yeah, we're not very funny in English.
No.
I also have a cold, but it's not coronavirus, so we're fine.
Exactly. I was about to make a lime joke, and I gave up before you
even did. A lime joke?
Think about it.
Oh, wow.
It's the reason why I kept thinking that I was getting the word wrong.
Oh.
I kept thinking like, oh, no, it's corona, but I just keep reading corona. Mm-hmm. But then I looked it up and it's like, no. Corona is correct. And I kept seeing Corona trending because everyone else was also thinking that they were like misseeing it. I'm like, oh, even in a pandemic, like we can come together with our, like, weird word things. Anyways, yeah, Sally does not have coronavirus.
I do not have coronavirus.
No.
Although we're near, now that we're this far into the episode, we're nearing into like the lady doth protest too much territory.
Yeah, exactly.
So this episode, huh?
Yes. It was very interesting. I'm totally not going chronological here, but it was really, I really liked that in this episode, we basically got it defined for us what was the hero complex. Like, given things, like, what that luck was versus what they would have had with or without that. It was, like, a nice, like, nature versus nurture kind of thing. Like, they still had their hustler skills.
Yes.
And Dean, of course, could still pick up any waitress he wants. Because, as Sally said while we were watching, there's no way they could swing that not being a thing.
No. Well, I mean,
it's just not possible.
It's just that would have been the most unrealistic thing. Just absolutely not realistic whatsoever. I feel like this episode also made like a whole bunch of things very clear. So like it made their luck clear.
Mm-hmm.
It made pagan gods and goddesses clear, mm-hmm. which was pretty cool.
Yes.
I'm trying to find something that, on IMDb.
That was a bit of retconning, though, because because I remember in, I can never remember the name of the episode, but the one where we see, like, the pagan gods meeting at the hotel, and that's when Lucifer comes in, like, kills them all. Remember which one I'm talking about?
Yeah. Twilight of the Gods.
There we go. And in that one, I remember one of the pagan gods being like, or one of the gods, like the outside pantheon, right, of the world, being like, you know, we were here first and then, you know, Christianity like took it. So like it doesn't completely line up.
No. Yeah.
But
although she did say that a lot of them had forgotten.
Oh, like in this episode?
Yeah.
Oh,
She said, a lot of them have forgotten, but I haven't because I'm old and I hold a grudge.
Ah, I like that.
Yeah.
See, sometimes when we talk out the episode, we also find things that we missed. Yeah, so that's like perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Look at them. Who wrote this episode again? I can't remember.
Oh.
I remember seeing it before. And then I forgot. I wonder if it was...
Meredith Glynn and Davey Platt.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, that's what I thought.
So the other thing that I noticed immediately was I watched this movie over the holidays called A Homecoming for the Holidays.
Right.
On Netflix. It was so bad.
Yeah.
So bad. Like I watched one that now I forget the name of. It wasn't A Christmas Prince, but it was like
that kind of
movie. Last year that I actually really enjoyed. So my sister and I were like, let's watch another terrible Christmas movie this year. So we watched this one.
Okay.
And it was not as good.
No.
And the two leads had zero chemistry.
Yay.
Just absolutely none. The male lead was so weird and it was Fortuna's son,
Pax,
in this episode. And I also, he's also on Letterkenny.
Right.
Like, I've seen him in so much stuff in the past.
Did you end up looking up his name? Or
yeah,
no?
It's Stephen Hussar. Hussar. It's H-U-S-Z-A-R. He also played a demon on Supernatural in 2014. I just didn't know who he was. A very attractive man, but not.
I liked him in this.
He was fine in this.
Yeah.
You know.
But on the note of like bad but good Christmas movies, like Hallmark Channel, like Lifetime kind of thing, Borrowed Hearts is the shit. If you have not seen it, put it on the list for next year. Or even, who cares, watch it now. It's Eric McCormick. It's
oh, him.
What's her face from Touched by an Angel?
Oh.
Oh my god. Redhead.
Wait, I'm thinking of someone else.
Yeah, you're thinking of the other person.
Yeah. It's cool. Kira's gonna look it up and I'm gonna
talk.
Cause I can do that.
You can? At least sometimes.
Yeah. So right off the bat, we get pool.
Roma Downey.
Ah.
Thank you. Anyways, it's great. Everyone watch it.
Okay. Pool.
Yes. Pool.
One of Supernatural's classic motifs. Sam and Dean hustling pool as children.
Yeah.
Love it. Dean has seen a lot of pool cues.
Yep.
No comment.
What was the phrase that was used in this episode? Swinging.
Yeah, swinging.
Or dueling. I don't know. Something
was,
like that.
It was phallic, whatever it was.
Yes. And I did not catch that, but Sally did.
If anyone's going to notice, like,
if anyone's going to catch
an opportunity for a dick joke, it's going to be me.
If anyone's going to catch the phallus.
Yep.
It doesn't at all.
And then we also get Castiel back.
Yes.
Which was just a delight.
Our baby.
And I have a bad feeling.
No.
About, about Billy's plan.
Okay. But see, you narrowly avoided saying I have a bad feeling about this.
Oh, yeah. I do have a bad feeling about this.
Don't say it. You just jinxed the whole final season.
Yes. If something bad happens now, it's my fault.
Yes.
But like, we've seen Billy's plans before.
Have we?
Yeah. The plan for Dean to lock himself in the stupid box and throw himself in the bottom of the ocean.
I still think that was like a let's give them this but hope they find another option kind of situation. That's how I'm retconning it in my brain.
Okay. Still.
Because they still utilized it to a certain extent, right? Didn't they kind of
use it? Well, they made the box, but they didn't use it. They tried to put Jack in it, and he exploded it.
Oh, right. Huh.
So I'm also curious, how much of Jack's soul is left?
Oh, right. That's a good question.
I don't have any answers. I'm just
I feel like
it
that's going to be a dropped thread.
Yeah. Oh, 100%.
Absolutely.
Dropped plot lines on Supernatural?
What?
Never.
I don't know what you're talking about.
But.
Because I, in all honesty, I even forgot about that. Yeah. Now
but yeah, so so just the way Jack was like.
Very matter of fact.
If I follow every single thing about Billy's plan,
yeah,
this is how this is. And I'm like,
Well, but it's like all signs are pointing. Like the second that he was like eating hearts, I'm like, it's to make him stronger to become the new god. Like that's what, like, you know,
cause it's which like, I know you were expecting at the end, and then.
Well, no, I was expecting kill God, become the new god. Like to me, that's interchangeable because it's like, what other reason would you like have to kill a creator other than to usurp him?
Yeah.
But something, sorry to like kind of tangent for a second, that I was actually thinking the last couple of weeks, but I didn't really voice it because I didn't feel like I had enough like evidentiary support to say it. But I feel like this episode finally gave it where when Fortuna was talking while they were playing pool and when she mentioned about when she said the line, well, you guys created us. Well, sort of. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, they're like, well, sort of was tacked on there, but like, why phrase it like that if it's sort of? Right? And it made me, something that I've been like kind of twirling around in my brain is, what if, like, in some way, Sam and Dean became the new God kind of thing? I don't know. I feel like it's still, even when I say it now, it's still far-fetched. But I just feel like, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know where I'm going.
I feel like that help, would be really
help,
cool.
Help.
Again, I'm just like, I don't know where they're going, you know? And I really like that. I like that we don't know where they're going. And it's like, it all comes back to like, what makes a good ending? Like, what is a good ending for Sam and Dean? You know, we've gotten to a point where we can't do Butch and Sundance anymore.
Well, yeah. And not because like, strategically you can't, but just because of how much it's been referenced and done at this point.
Yeah. Like, that can't be the ending. So then it's like, okay, if that's not the ending, how do we have a satisfying ending? Because that's like the logical ending.
Right.
That's like what traditionally would have been a satisfying end to their story. So we need a different kind of satisfying ending. So then the possibilities really open up to like, okay, do they become the new God? Do they like... become the king of hell? Do they like turn into goat? Like, you know, do they get married and have a Shakespearean comedy ending? Like, I mean, not to each other, but like, you know what I mean?
You just excited a lot of Wincest shippers. They get married?
I haven't seen
a
Wincester in a long time.
It's been a hot minute. Yeah.
Any of our listeners, if you're Wincest shippers,
Let us know.
Like, yeah.
Maybe we'll do a Twitter poll.
Yeah, we like you, you know. Yeah. We support all shippers in the fandom, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, come on down.
Well, but then there's, like, that thing of, like, maybe it's better to even think of, like, what are the unsatisfying endings? Unsatisfying ending would be that God gets his way and they end up killing each other anyway.
Yeah.
I feel like that would be very unsatisfying. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't necessarily hate it.
Yeah.
It would depend on how it played out, but it would be unsatisfying because it would be like, okay, so like, what does that mean? Because the whole thing is like with an ending, you're asking, like, it's the ending of an essay where you're like saying the so what.
Yeah.
Ooh.
I just almost knocked over a lamp. I'm sorry. The so what?
Yeah, that's basically what it is. So if it ends like that, then you're basically saying, well, none of the efforts of the brothers or their friends really mattered.
Yeah. And I think that at this point, too, they have to win somehow.
Mm-hmm.
Because other shows, like, the ending of Angel. Did you watch the end of Angel?
You ask me every time. No. One of these days, I'm just going to, like, secretly watch it and, like, not say. And then wait for you to ask me if I've seen it again and be like, well, Sally.
Like, it's not good. Like, it's not good. I've told you what happens, though.
Yeah, but I can't remember. Okay.
Do you care about spoilers?
No.
Okay. So that show ends with everyone dying.
Right. Okay.
Or implied. They're up against this huge, big bad. It ends with Butch and Sundance.
Right.
And the reason why it's meaning, like, and that's the best way for that show to end.
Right.
Because they had kind of brought back a whole bunch of characters. And the whole show was, like, about, like, Buffy is, like, they're already heroes. Angel is, like, the anti-hero show. They're constantly struggling with, like, ooh, we're kind of evil. Like,
how do we navigate this?
You know? And so, and the last season, they sort of become, like, they get the evil law firm to run.
Right.
So now they're in the position of being evil and in power and trying to do good from the inside.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end, it's, like, they're this band of kind of evil misfits, and they're finally like, okay, fuck it. Like, I guess we just have to fight this thing and we're all going to die. Mm-hmm. And that makes it meet, like, and that was a really good ending for that show. That
because it, like, made them heroes, yeah, essentially. Yeah.
And the show had kind of gone martyrdom off the rails.
Right.
So it was a really good thing. But at this point on Supernatural, we've had that ending, like, 5 times. we know that they're heroes. There would be nothing would be gained by them sacrificing themselves in the face of a huge evil, you know?
That's why I so enjoyed this episode of getting more of that, like, you know, these little nuisances that we're just so used to dealing with, getting them to them so much, because I did find myself at one point wanting to, like, yell at the screen, guys, you've died, like, a million times. This is fine, you know? But it's true. It's that thing of, like, dying is very different than, like, an incessant, you
heartburn.
Know. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's like the whole death by a thousand cuts. It's, yeah, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. Which I just, in that moment, realized how beautifully sadistic Chuck is.
Oh, God.
I just.
So sadistic.
I love it.
And.
But I was going to say something about satisfying endings, and I think that maybe the best way to describe it without having, like, content or detail in terms of, like, where we're going other than, like, the destruction of God and potential replacement of him or whatever twists they want to decide to throw at us, is that the ending needs to be bittersweet.
Yes.
It cannot be happy. It cannot be devastating. It has to find, like, ride that fine line. Yeah. And that's what'll make it satisfying.
Agreed. I also loved in this episode they've done a really good job this season and for the past couple of seasons, I'm going to say, at engaging with the hero narrative and with the narrative of Sam and Dean being heroes. Kind, yes, of starting with the Asa Fox episode, the, like, Hunter, right, funeral.
Right.
Where, you know,
the legend of them.
Yeah. And everyone's like, oh, did you really get possessed by Lucifer? Aw, like, and they're these larger than life heroes.
Yeah.
And so it sort of started there. And, you know, in prior to that, we'd had, like, it was very,
like, it was only our perspective.
Yeah.
That was informing that.
Yeah. Or even just, it was very,
insular.
Like, no, it wasn't examined.
Well, yeah, exactly.
It was like, ah, yes, they are heroes.
Yeah.
But it would be like demons would know about them and be like, ooh, Sam and Dean Winchester. But it was kind of,
they're
like,
scary hunters, but,
like,
not,
taken,
you know,
at face value.
Yeah.
As opposed to, like,
as opposed to them being, like, the boogeyman or Baba Yaga.
Yeah.
Like, which is what they really, like, mm-hmm, are now at this point.
And so I really liked, I thought, speaking of endings, I thought the ending of this episode was really satisfying. Or the ending of sort of the monster of the week element.
Right. Yes.
Because so often they encounter gods or supernatural beings who aren't rational.
Yes.
Right? And not that Fortuna was rational, just...
But she was.
She was.
Because I was waiting for that to happen.
Yeah.
But I enjoy more that it happened off screen.
Yeah.
Like, quote unquote. Yeah. Like, it wasn't her saying, like, oh, yeah, here you go, never mind.
Yeah.
It was like
she thought about it.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And, like, I guess, like, empathy. Like, you just so rarely see, like,
yeah,
people's, like, the supernatural beings or gods, like, taking a minute and, like, thinking about what they're doing and then, like, making a good decision.
But also, too, I just realized something.
What?
Hercules and, like, the other demigods, they're her family.
Yeah.
So, like, this isn't just her being like, oh, I thought, like, heroes were extinct. Mm-hmm. This is her being like, oh, no, no, no. This is, like, people that actually mirror my family.
Yeah.
Which I didn't think about until that moment, mm-hmm, which is really, really interesting. Because what has the show always been about, no matter what,
family.
Is family.
And
I really like that.
Implicit in that as well, she thought her family was extinct.
Exactly. Yeah.
And here...
Yeah, here are two brothers that are, mm-hmm, willing to, like, give up everything mm-hmm. for people that they don't know, that they're being told they shouldn't care about, mm-hmm. and that they didn't have the odds. And their response to that is, well, we had to try, mm-hmm. you know? And I think, honestly, everyone started piling out of the pool hall, right away I was just like, it was that line that did it. Mm-hmm. To me, like, if I was Fortuna,
oh yeah,
and I was like in her shoes, if I heard someone that I just like pretty much killed essentially,
yeah,
say like, oh well, we had to try, it would be like it would be a cause for pause.
Yeah,
I would say. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I enjoyed that part of it.
And then it's like she adopted them.
Oh.
Like, yeah, not as yeah. children, but like as family but, members.
Yeah, exactly.
Back to Cass and yes. Jack.
Yeah.
So I definitely had, I think we were both very confused as to who.
Concerned.
Well, no, confused as to who the beings he was mm-hmm. killing were. And even.
No clue.
Even they had a flashback.
I know. Even with the flashback, it was like, I don't remember that.
They said what they were, and we were like, like, what?
When they said Gregoria, I was like, Gorgons?
So then I looked it up and was like, oh yeah.
Well, honestly, even when you told me what it was, I was like, oh, I still don't remember that.
So they're kind of like yeah. djinn in oh. that they feed off human souls.
Okay.
Because there was that episode where Claire's mom,
uh-huh.
like Claire found out that her mom was still alive.
Right.
And she was being held, like,
okay.
She had been kidnapped by a Grigori.
Okay.
And that at the end of that episode, she dies and goes to heaven. And there's a scene with her, like, arriving in her heaven.
Right.
And Jimmy is there. Jimmy Novak, like, Claire's oh, dad, yeah. is there. Right. And they hug, and he's like, I've been waiting for you.
Aww.
And you're like, oh, so Jimmy is in heaven, like, blah, blah, blah. It's very sweet. That's also the scene where Misha said that was, like, the most emotional scene he had to film. Because yeah. normally he's so used to, like,
being
Cass. Yeah. And then to have this, like, very different character who's yeah. just like, I love my wife, like.
And I miss her kind of thing, yeah. So, but that's the thing is, like, what were the function of the Watcher Angels then?
So, this is one of my favorite angel factions.
Okay.
And they explain it more on the show, like, in that first episode. Mm-hmm. I don't remember how much this is going to align with what's on Supernatural, but from what I skimmed, it mostly overlaps.
Right.
They just make up some stuff for, like, what they're how they feed off human souls.
Right.
But I actually wrote a paper on this.
Oh, well then.
So in Genesis, mm-hmm. there's a section where it's like prior to the flood, and it's like the sons of God like came down and like slept with the daughters of man and made babies, and that's the original reference to Nephilim.
Right. I was just going to say.
Yeah. So then in the Book of Enoch and the Book of the Watchers, it mm-hmm. goes into more detail of this story, which is sort of leading up to the flood. These books sort of say that one of the biggest things, one of the biggest reasons for the flood and for all that sin was this group of angels who were the Watchers, and they were meant to sort of watch and guard humanity. Mm-hmm. And instead, they just slept with all the women and taught them all magic created all this evil.
Right.
And that's sort of why
interesting.
God did the flood thing.
Right. The flood thing.
The flood thing. And there's this poem that I keep trying to find, and I can't find it, that's like from the perspective of one of the Nephilim, essentially, mm-hmm. like, and like the flood is rising and he's gonna die, and his angel dad has like abandoned him, and he's just like right. weirded because they all kind of like leave, and then I think some of them become demons or like part of like an evil angel army. This is pretty cool.
So like this kind of extension of it is very like logical.
Yes.
Because here you have, like, the most powerful Nephilim ever basically, like, getting revenge.
Yeah.
But that revenge having, like, a purpose.
Yeah.
Which is very interesting. I like that.
And on the show, I think it just says that they're, like, they were meant to be, they're, like, a really old group of angels right. that were, like, meant to, like, watch and guard humanity. And instead, they kind of, like, went rogue
right.
and evil and started feeding off of human souls.
Right.
Which, like, fits in with
yeah,
the,
exactly.
the whole thing.
Yeah.
So I love that shit. Like,
that's really interesting. I like that.
Like, it's just my favorite. The Book of the Watchers is so cool.
Nerd.
Yeah, I'm a huge nerd.
Woohoo!
The Book of Enoch is also really cool. The whole thing with Enoch mm-hmm. is you're, like, smiling and nodding.
I know about Enoch.
But he's the only person in the list of, like, people in Genesis where it doesn't say that he died.
Mm-hmm.
It says that he walked with God, and then, mm-hmm. according to lore, he became Metatron.
Mm-hmm.
So, all, like, I just love Supernatural's use of mythology.
Yeah.
Like, it is so directly, and it's like, everyone loves this shit.
Yeah.
I just happen to have a degree in it.
Exactly.
And it, like, there are certain things that seem to be, like, speaking directly to me where I'm like, yes, I love this. So the whole, you know, Metatron and these Watcher angels all come from the same texts.
Right.
Which I think is really cool that
yeah.
Supernatural is kind of using a lot of the same source texts for mm-hmm. their religious lore.
Yes. There was something I recently saw. And I can't remember what it was, but it referenced Enoch.
Yeah.
And it's bothering me now.
Have you read Many Waters? So it's a book by Madeleine L'Engle, who wrote A Wind at the Door and A Wrinkle in Time.
Oh, okay. That's the only one I know because of the movie.
Yeah.
I was like, what the hell is this movie coming out based on a book? Okay, I've never heard of this in my life.
It's really good.
Okay.
It's really good. It's one of those things where if you didn't read it as a kid,
but
it's
that's
probably
the thing.
Not as
yeah.
good.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like,
I don't know how it skipped me.
Yeah. I mean, it's old. Like,
right.
And I feel like part of why I read it is because I had older siblings.
Ah, yeah, that'll do it.
Like, a lot of media, like, a lot of people I know who have younger siblings
mm-hmm.
know a lot of, like,
newer stuff
that I'm like
right.
I just missed out on that.
Yeah.
And then it's like you would have gotten the stuff from, like, your generation
mm-hmm.
and the stuff from your mom.
Yeah.
But, like, that middle
yeah the middle
bit you wouldn't have gotten. But yeah, so Many Waters is, like, about it's the fourth book in the series,
mm-hmm.
And it's about, like, the two of the characters end up accidentally time traveling back to Genesis.
Oh, wow.
To right before the flood,
mm-hmm.
and it does a really cool, like, it's similar to Philip Pullman.
Oh, okay.
In terms of
that, I know.
The treatment of
right.
those religious mythological themes.
Interesting.
And Enoch is in it. Sorry, that
yeah.
that was.
I was like,
that,
I knew, I had yes. a feeling that that's where that was going. But yeah, it's really bugging me now that I can't remember what that was. What I had recently. I'm like trying to go through the Rolodex of like things I've watched in the last 2 weeks, which is just like never a good idea, because then you realize how much media you do actually consume. Okay, somewhat of a side tangent, but also relevant because we still, you know, watch Supernatural week to week. I'm personally now every time there's like a digital series, like as in like a series that's, you know, straight to a streaming service or whatever, when I find out it's week by week, I'm so happy. Like, I'm so happy. I'm like, oh, good. I don't have to, like, you know, I don't quote unquote have to carve out a whole weekend to watch this series. Am I alone in
no.
this? Okay. So, okay. I feel like good. I'm matching everyone else in like just this. I'm so exhausted binging.
Yeah.
Like I binged the third season of Sabrina in like 3 days.
Yeah.
And it was great. I really liked having like all that content right away. But at the same time, it's like now it's done. And
yeah.
I have to wait like a year
yeah.
to get more kind of thing.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm curious as to how those week-to-week shows versus series that are released all at once, how they compare in terms of storytelling. Because there's some stuff, yeah, that I've binged recently mm-hmm. that was written for the purpose of being binged, you know? So I'm like, when the third season of Stranger Things came out, you know, I pretty much binged that. And I binged the first two seasons too. Mm-hmm. But like, and these aren't really comparables because one is trash. But like, can you imagine binging Riverdale? Like,
well,
you die.
I
know, but like, your brain would melt. Like, that, I think that's part of my problem with that show.
Yeah.
Like, I mean.
But see, that's the thing though, right? Is it's like, I would argue that the majority of shows that I binge are not written to be binged.
Okay.
Do you get what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, yeah. They're very much shows that would have been aired, normally would have been aired week to week.
Yeah.
They're not being written to binge.
Okay.
I would argue that I can't necessarily speak to Stranger Things just mm-hmm. because it is so big and it's kind of like what really like made Netflix
yeah.
like resurge and all that kind of stuff. So I can't necessarily speak to like whatever pressure they're under to write to a certain like
yeah.
viewing experience. Mm-hmm. But I would say like as an example, like The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, that show was not written to be binged.
Okay.
Not at all. Okay. And not in the sense of like there's filler episodes or
yeah.
anything like that, because it's still a short order season.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's the other thing too
yeah.
is more and more seasons are not
yeah
20 episodes.
Yeah.
They're 8 to 13.
Yeah.
Or like Titans,
mm-hmm.
which is like such a masterpiece of a show, and I feel like it's so underrated because
yeah.
it's like a comic book show. Because it's just, I can't. I can't. Even just, like, starting to talk about it, I'm just like, hey, it's so good. But it's like, it would totally work week to week because
yeah.
there's still those, like, you know, cliffhangers. There's still those, like, moments
mm-hmm.
that, you know, will keep you watching. Because, like, to me, that's the only, that would be the only logical difference between something that's, you know, that a show that's bingeable to
mm-hmm.
me is just a good show.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? And like there was good shows before binging.
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That to me is like one show that I'm watching week to week right now is The Outsider. It's at HBO, so it's on
yeah.
Crave. And it's an adaptation of a Stephen King novel that
yeah.
I read. And I would say that it's like it would totally be bingeable
mm-hmm.
if it was all released at once.
Yeah.
But I like that it's not.
Yeah.
Because I like even just like with Supernatural, like coming back to it and being like, wait, what happened last week? Oh, right.
Yeah.
And having that time away from it is like really nice. And then it does like imagine the final season being done in a weekend.
Oh God,
that would just be like so not satisfying.
No. Yeah.
And I think that that's why I'm like not watching certain shows that I've like let go.
Mm-hmm.
Not because like I don't like them or that they're bad or anything, but just because like, oh well, now I'm binging them.
Yeah.
Whereas before they were week to week, and so like now like the event of it isn't there.
Well, and it helps you structure your time too.
That's it.
Because
that's
like
literally it.
Like I've talked about this before with hockey, where it's like, because the reason I asked that question is because I don't watch a lot of TV shows other than Supernatural. Everything I watch currently is released bit by bit.
Mm-hmm.
But none of it is like a narrative show except for Supernatural, because it's like I have hockey where you have to wait until it happens to watch it, you know?
Yes.
I've been watching The Bachelor.
Yes.
Which, again, it's like the Monday night event.
Exactly.
And then I have a couple of podcasts that I listen to about hockey that come out on specific days.
Mm-hmm.
And Supernatural, which we always watch on Friday morning. And it's great because it structures
mm-hmm.
my time. And I'm like, oh, it's Friday. Time
it's
for Supernatural.
Time to be entertained.
Oh,
yeah.
Saturday night, hockey. Like,
exactly.
it helps you structure your week. but because Supernatural, it's like, it's not just watching the show, it's the podcast.
Yeah.
And all of those other things. It's like, The Bachelor wouldn't work as a binge because it just wouldn't. Like, I mean, because it's like, everyone is processing it at the same time.
Exactly.
And it's
that's
like
part
a time-based thing.
Yeah.
And the hockey stuff, it's like, you can't binge hockey because
it's right there.
It's quote unquote.
It's in real time.
Yeah. You can't binge it. And with the podcasts, it's like, I don't want to listen. Like, if I save up podcasts and then listen to them all at once, mm-hmm. it's like the one from like 3 weeks ago
is no longer relevant.
Yeah. You have to consume it in the moment.
Yeah.
But
like
whenever
I miss like podcast episodes.
Yeah.
Of a podcast I'm listening to, I just go to the most recent
and
listen to that one. And it's very rare, like, unless like I just need something to like clean to or something.
Yeah.
And there's nothing else and I don't feel like listening to music, then yeah, sometimes I'll go back just to like have something play. Mm-hmm. But yeah, no, I get what you're saying.
But you should all go back and listen to our previous episodes because they're great.
They're always relevant. Which like they actually are. It's not like they lose their they don't lose their relevancy as much as say like a sports podcast would.
No. But I guess I don't have as much experience watching a TV show on my own week to week.
Right.
Other than when I was trying to watch Friday Night Lights
and then
couldn't do it because I kept crying.
Too emotional.
I'm so soft. I've gotten so soft as I got older.
Also, speaking of getting older, this week is mine and Sally's birthday week because our birthdays are a week apart.
Yep.
But it's Sally's 30th on Sunday. Woohoo! Big 3-0. And I turned 29, so you know I'm better than her.
Excuse me. Oh, we're the same age right now.
Oh, yeah, we are.
For like...
Two more days. That's so funny.
But yeah, it was great. We went out for brunch on Kira's birthday.
Mm-hmm.
It was delightful.
And then wait for it. Tomorrow, for Sally's birthday, we're going to go to a hockey game.
Surprise. Shocking. The Leafs are also playing that night, so we're going to watch. Except I'm going to put it on mute. We're going to listen to music.
That's awesome.
Yeah. That's what happened last year at my party.
Of course.
Except Kira wasn't there because she had to work. It was real sad. And also, they won last year on my birthday.
Oh.
So they better win.
Yes.
They better win tomorrow.
Yeah. Or they're going to be in big trouble.
They're playing the Senators, so they really better win.
back to Supernatural.
And speaking of being soft.
Yes.
Cass and Jack's reunion.
There you
that
go.
Was
That's
like
it.
The
That's
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah, just that noise.
There you go.
That was like the softest, most beautiful. I wasn't expecting it.
Really?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I was expecting it. I think they've done a really, really good job showing Cass's grief this season.
Yes.
And I think that's been one of the points of tension in Cass and Dean's relationship.
Yep.
Is he's gone. I mean, really. This just kind of occurred to me. Dean has been like number one for so long.
True.
You know, Cass has had a single-minded focus.
Yeah.
On
Dean.
Humanity.
Yeah, I was gonna say it.
Dean, Humanity Winchester.
Yep.
Sam and Dean, and by Sam and Dean, we all know he means Dean. Like, you know, and even. You know, there have been moments of Cass, you know, sacrificing himself for Sam, caring about Sam.
Of course.
But it's like...
Like you would a brother.
And a part of that, I think, also has been like Cass knows how important Sam is to Dean.
Exactly.
You know, so it's like obviously he's going to sacrifice himself for the most important thing in his boyfriend's life.
Exactly.
Slash husband.
Husband's life.
But to see, you know, I think it's been a really profound growth opportunity for Cass to have, you know, someone else that he cares about that much.
That much, exactly.
And that's actually what enabled him to sort of stand up for himself.
Yeah.
And to make choices where he's like, no, like, you haven't made an effort to understand what I've been going through. I've been grieving. And
you don't really seem to care.
Yeah. And I think having another person that he cares about that much has really put a lot of things into perspective for him.
Yes.
And because Cass isn't our perspective character.
Yes.
We don't see the show from his perspective ever. Mm-hmm. We've seen.
There's been a couple times. Yeah. But not in the same way.
Yeah. But like we've been seeing his grief in a very different way. Than we've seen Sam or Dean's grief in the past. And I've just really enjoyed that little plot line of him being really, really sad about Jack.
Mm-hmm.
But it's been kind of understated.
Yes.
And so I wasn't expecting how emotional that reunion
was for me, I guess. And like, I think too, you mentioning him not being a perspective character, I feel like that's important in this instance because that scene felt like a scene for a perspective character.
Yes.
And I think that that's why it was so emotional and hit so much is because that very much felt like you could make Cass Dean and Jack Cass and it would have fit. Do you get what I'm saying? In terms of reunion.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Don't look at me like that.
No, I'm just confused.
In terms of like how it was framed and everything. Like it was very much framed like were Cass in that moment finding Jack again. Kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I also feel like this is a good segue to that moment when everyone's reunited and Dean is like holding Jack. And then looks over to Cass. Like, I just, there's no words. It's just so perfect. And it's just like, yes, my three dads.
Yeah. It was just, oh, what was the other line? There was one line that was like.
I know what you're talking about. I can't remember.
We're sorry that we did. I should have written this down. I should have written it down because there was one moment during that reunion that was just like, oh, yeah, they're married. Like, dads. Like, maybe it was like, why didn't you call or something?
Oh, no. It was like to Jack, like, you know, why didn't you call us?
Yeah.
Or something.
Yeah. Anyways, it was very domestic parents.
Yes, that is true.
Yeah. I think that just. The actors have the character. I mean, I'm not saying anything new, but like they just have the characters down so perfectly.
Yeah.
You know, we don't get a lot of out of character moments anymore. Because I think, you know, there have been a couple of times, not like out of character moments, but it's just like you'll have a new writer or there'll be a line where it's like,
that didn't land right.
That didn't land right or whatever. And we've just reached a point where that doesn't happen.
No.
Because they just are the characters.
Yes.
And everything is so emotionally true to the characters. And yeah, the second reunion was really touching as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because, yeah, like almost nothing was said. But I still got a feel for everything that Dean was thinking, you know, and how he has mostly let go of his anger about Mary's death.
Mm-hmm.
And he, you know, him and Cass had that conversation.
Yeah.
They've worked through their shit. He's happy that Jack's back, like all this stuff. He's happy for Cass that Jack is back.
Mm-hmm.
That like face cup was so beautiful, like the family's back together again.
I have nothing else to say other than, like, yay about that.
I have something else to say. Yeah. I have a question.
I didn't mean in general. Okay. I just meant about that.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't have anything else to say about that other than, like, incoherent crying.
Exactly.
Other than, like, warm, soft, fuzzy heart feelings. So I have maybe a stupid question.
Okay.
I'm just a little confused because last time God was mortally injured, the son died. In season 11, that was the whole thing where Amara, like, whammied Chuck and he was dying and the son started to die. And it was like, God is like a light being. He made the sun. Like, he is the sun. It's a sun god, sky god, blah, 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 blah. You kill God, the sun dies, and then the planet dies.
So what I would argue is that that wasn't being mortally wounded. That was Amara killing him. Whereas, like, so are you talking about, like, what might happen when Jack kills him? Or are you talking about him being mortally wounded prior, like, with the bullet, and that not affecting it?
No, I'm talking about
the future.
Do they have a plan? Like,
well, but that's what I'm saying, mm-hmm. is without even directly referencing that or thinking that, subconsciously I was like, well, killing God means replacing God.
Okay. Okay.
That's the way that I think of it. Okay. Because if, you know, it is that question of just like, well, was he just being a drama queen? Right? Like, was
Can
the universe exist without him?
Yeah.
Or a being like him?
Well, that's the million-dollar question.
Yeah. And it's whether, like, are they going to even bother answering that?
Yeah.
You know, explicitly. Not a stupid question at all.
Okay.
I mark that as smart.
Okay.
Very intelligent. Did I have any questions? I feel like, I don't know, this episode was really good, but it was kind of, I don't know, it just feels like structured, and I'm only like, this isn't even really a criticism or anything, but I'm just feeling like now we're getting into like a structure rut of like them being monster of the week episodes that are Trojan horses of like, you know, overarching plot stuff, which is fine, but like, is that gonna stop, or is that just how the rest of the season goes? Like, is that how they're like getting the best of both worlds kind of thing? Which would be fine, but I'm just getting anxious about like, where is this all gonna fucking go? And yeah, I'm just getting anxious because they just started, like, I can't remember if they started or finished, you know, filming episode 15, and then that just means when they're done that, that's only 5 more episodes to film at all.
Fun story.
Yeah.
The next episode doesn't air until March 16th.
I knew it. I knew. I told you there was going to be another hiatus.
I know. March.
March. Because, yeah, because today was episode 11, so there's only 9 episodes to go, but then that means that March 16th, it's going to run straight through.
And March 16th is directed by
Richard.
Dick. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
Because I was going to look it up to be like, I know. Well, will the next episode be another one? Yes. And then it's like, oh, there isn't even a summary yet, which is good for me because I don't want to read the summary.
Exactly.
I want to read the summary.
But you shouldn't.
But I shouldn't. but there isn't one, so it's fine.
Yeah.
So yeah, that episode is called Galaxy Brain.
Oh. Oh. That's what I wanted to talk about. Just like little aside, mm-hmm. is I hate that I have not, I feel like a bad Supernatural fan for not having read any H.P. Lovecraft.
Oh.
And everything. I just feel like a bad science fiction / gothic / horror fan in general for not reading it. But I went down a wormhole of oh my God, I just forgot. I forgot what it was called already. Damn it. It's like the abominations, or the, like, it's like the T'Chula.
Oh.
Like what, like that species, quote unquote species, is called.
Elder.
Yes, thank you.
Something.
Elder Scrolls. No.
No.
Elder something. It's something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I like was doing some Googling, and there was a lot of like, you know, they all like seemed like demi.
Yeah.
Urges to me, or whatever mm-hmm. the fuck it's called. And so that made me think, like, it's even more possible. And then you just said galaxy brain.
Mm-hmm.
And it made me think of the, like.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. The brain looking one. Anyways, that was it. Okay. Thank you for coming to my TED Talk.
So have you read any H.P. Lovecraft
no,
yet?
No, I have some.
So.
And I feel like I need to.
I don't want to offend any Lovecraft fans.
Mm-hmm.
He is seminal in sci-fi and horror writing. Uh-huh. Kind of boring.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Like, it's worth reading one short story.
Right.
Also, super racist. Super racist.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Mostly, I think, unintentional, but it's like, he's racist. If he's a product of his time, yada, yada.
Blah, blah, blah.
But it's the type of writing where it's like, the monster was horrible. It's like nothing you've ever seen before. I cannot possibly describe how horrible and awful it is. It's so awful. Ah, the horror. Like it.
Okay.
I'm doing a bad job, but it's very.
It's that kind of, yeah.
It's like he's never heard of Show Don't Tell.
Right.
Just to reprise.
Yes.
An old favorite phrase of ours.
Yes.
And a lot of stuff is really long.
Yeah.
Because
I have one. Like a short story collection that's getting dusty on my shelf, like so many of my books.
I do too. I have it on my e-reader, and like I've read a fair amount of it because like sometimes like it's weird and cool, mm-hmm. but like don't
you're basically
have
saying
low expectations going in and know that like it's not going to be Stephen King. Like you're not going to be like sucked in by like the exciting storytelling. You're going to be like, I'm going to push through and get through this story, you know?
Yeah. Well, that's always fun. But anyways, when I like, I, you know, because I don't want to spoil another TV show, but it like came up in that TV show just like at the tail end. And so I like went on a Googling spree and I was like, I wonder. Because it's not like they haven't referenced Lovecraft before. Mm-hmm.
They had that whole Lovecraft episode. Yeah. I should go back and rewatch that.
Yeah.
Now that it's on Amazon Prime.
Yes.
# not sponsored.
So to make a joke about like, you know, would we want to be sponsored by Amazon Prime?
I would literally take anything. Have you seen my bank account balance, Kira? Not good.
On that note, you can go to our Buy Me a Coffee if you want to get us a coffee for our birthday.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys. It's linked on Tumblr, and I'll put it on the Twitter as well. It would be very much appreciated because we're poor.
Yep. Oh, boy. We need some of that pool playing luck. Except as we both said, we're both terrible at pool.
Yeah. But see, that's the thing, is I like playing other people that are also bad at pool, and that's what makes it fun.
Okay, so we should just play each other.
Exactly. The second that someone is just like, I'm fucking awesome, and comes in, like they fucking ruin it. Like, mm-hmm. go away. Mm-hmm. Go play a tournament or something.
Yeah. When I was in high school, they used to call me Sinker Sally, because I would always sink the wrong ball.
Yep. Oh, you're really bad then.
Yeah.
I thought you just meant like as in you scratch a lot or whatever.
No, I'm really bad.
Oh, no.
Like, really bad. Really bad. Yeah.
Well, that can be fun. It's all about, like, looking at it as not winning. Not, like, not playing to win.
Oh, yeah. I never play to win.
Yeah, I don't know if we should play together.
But
if I get competitive in anything, it is table hockey and pool.
Table hockey, I do get competitive about.
And I get really mad at myself when I don't block goals. I get really, really, like, aggressive.
I think my thing is my control freak nature comes out.
Right.
And the easiest way to control outcomes is by, like, not caring. Because if you don't care, then you can't fail. Which is why I'm such an underachiever. Because also, if you don't try, you can't fail. Did you know that? I've had a lot of success with that technique.
Success, like most things, is relative. There you go.
I'm also surprised with this episode. Last week had some good music.
Yes.
This week, they should have used that stupid...
That's what...
Kenny Rogers?
Kenny Loggins.
Kenny. I thought we decided it was Kenny Rogers.
Oh, God. I think maybe the song that Andrew tweeted out was Kenny Loggins, but that other song is supposed to be Kenny Rogers.
We had this conversation before the podcast, and we kept getting... Kenny Rogers is the gambler.
Okay, yeah, so, yeah.
Okay. Who knows who Kenny, like...
Kenny Loggins is, like, Footloose.
I know, I know, but I mean, like, there are too many Kennys. Like, you know one, you know them all.
So, yeah. Same difference.
I wish they had had some good...
I know, I was waiting for it. I was just
country,
like...
Country bar music.
Hello? Why didn't you get the right... Oh, they're starting to lose money already. Oh, it's only episode 11. Uh-oh. Yeah. Oh, no. Is there bad wire work in our future?
Oh. No. Knock on wood.
Nope.
I think they learned from their mistake.
I hope so. Well, anyways, I guess we should probably wrap it up at this point. Sally's nodding a lot. So you've been listening to It's Funnier in Enochian, a Supernatural podcast. You can find us on multiple podcast platforms, all your favorite apps, including iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. You can also find us on social media, on Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr at IFE Podcast. That's IFIE Podcast. Thanks for listening.